Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. A quick preview of today's docket. First, check out this footage of a jailbreak. Second, remember those neglectful parents yesterday? They posted bond. What is it with 14-year-olds these days? They just grow up so quick. We got some video of Dave Chappelle being attacked on stage. Was this a mob hit? And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. All right, everybody, you know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't, like the video, leave me a comment, hit that bell so you receive notifications when we go live or put up new content. And remember, you can always listen to us on your favorite podcasting app by simply searching Crime Talk with Scott Reich. I want to thank everyone for joining us last night on our live as well as our Patreon. That was a really, really good show. I appreciate everybody for taking the time to join us. All right, before we get to the docket, let's support our sponsors that support the channel. Like many Americans, we got a dog during the pandemic. My quarantine dog, Miss Winnie the Bulldog. Now, Miss Winnie has grown accustomed to being around us all the time. When we were leaving the house, Winnie would have extreme anxiety, so we decided to look for natural products to help with her anxiety. We looked for the highest quality CBD treats, and we were not satisfied, and neither was Winnie. So we created a high-quality CBD product that absorbs faster and provides the required results faster. Baked in Colorado, CBD treats and beverage enhancers are made with nanotechnology. The nanotechnology makes the CBD extraction more pure, also allows for Baked in Colorado products to work faster. Baked in Colorado products can help reduce your pet's anxiety, ease joint pain, and help with your dog's skin problems. Go to our online store and see what Baked in Colorado product is best for your dog. When you order at bakedincolorado.com, enter code Winnie and receive 15% off your first order. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. If your dog does not experience the desired results in 30 days, return the product and we will refund your money. No questions asked. All right, let's go ahead and open the docket for Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. Check out this footage of now former officer Vicky White kind of creeping out the Lauderdale County Jail with the 6'9" Mr. Casey White, and he who had not been released. Now, the 56-year-old female officer and widow held the door for the 38-year-old convicted criminal who was still in handcuffs. They then proceed to get into White's black police car at about 9:30 a.m. on Friday, April 29th, and drive off. On Friday, Vicky White told a booking officer she was escorting Mr. Casey to the county courthouse for a mental health evaluation. The move was against protocol for Casey, who was always meant to have at least two guards with him. No such evaluation was scheduled, as the authorities found out. Now, Vicky White had filed for retirement a day before her disappearance. She was also living with her mother after recently selling her home. Now, the two have been on the run for at least 5 days now. Mr. Casey's ex-girlfriend begs Vicky White to drop the killer and turn herself in. The woman who's not been identified, but she was the victim who was shot in Mr. Casey's 2015 case, warned that Miss White is in fact absolutely disposable to Casey White. Meanwhile, police revealed other inmates had told them that Vicky and Casey White, who are not related, had a special relationship in the jail. Authorities now believe that the inmate and the officer had a romantic relationship, which extended into Vicky White's non-work hours. They traced the relationship back to early as 2020 when Casey White, who was already serving time in state prison, was first brought to the Lauderdale County Detention Center for an arraignment. Inmates at the detention facility told investigator Casey White was getting extra food on his trays and was getting privileges no one else got, and this was all coming from her. Now, the U.S. Marshals Service said they suspect that the pair are armed with at least one AR-15 and a shotgun, and may have used a copper 2007 Ford Edge during the escape. Now, Casey's ex-girlfriend, who he blasted with a gun in 2015, but didn't kill her, says she feels like he's a master manipulator and that she is, in fact, disposable. Run as far away as you can and turn yourself in and contact somebody. Do the right thing. You'll lose your life or before somebody else does. Now, meanwhile, Vicky's mother-in-law, whose son passed away earlier this year, believes the guard may have been brainwashed by the criminal. All right. Now, we've seen this before, ladies and gentlemen, and yes, there is usually manipulation, no doubt. And I'm sure that is the case here, no doubt. It does not look like a case of duress at all. I kind of feel sorry for Miss White, because I think she truly got manipulated big time by this guy. I mean, she could have ran an NCIC. She didn't even have to use Crime Talk Search. But if she had come to me, I would have said, run, run, stay away from this guy. All right, next on the docket. Remember the story we brought you the other day about the parents who were arrested for murder of their autistic daughter, a woman by the name of Lacey Fletcher? And when authorities found her, she was basically fused to a sofa. Well, the parents were released on $300,000 bond each. You would think if they had that kind of dough, they could have used a little bit of it to take care of their daughter, don't you think? Well, the mother, Sheila, was released from jail a little bit over 24 hours after her arrest. She's 64, and we have a picture here of her leaving the courthouse. She refused to answer any questions, probably good advice. Can't imagine she has anything good to say. She refused to say if she felt any remorse at all regarding Lacey, who died covered in feces and sunk into a hole in the sofa worn by her emaciated body at her parents' otherwise tidy home in the small town that they live in. She and her husband, also 64, were charged Monday with second-degree murder and face life in prison without parole if convicted over the death of their 36-year-old daughter. She was released shortly after the bond being set at some $300,000 apiece. And generally speaking, on a bond that big, you need collateral, i.e. a house, usually 10% of the bond that you have to pay to the bonds person. So that's a cool $60,000, maybe as high as $72,000 in fees. Like I said, you think she could have used some of that money to, you know, help her daughter? Just saying. Anyway, next on the docket. What is it with 14-year-olds these days? We seem to have a lot of stories involving 14-year-old kids. They just grow up so fast these days. Well, a 14-year-old male allegedly broke into a woman's home in Suffolk County, New York, then allegedly assaulted her in front of her daughter, then stabbed her. Now, the teenage suspect and a suspect accomplice broke into the woman's home on Long Island's Mastic Beach neighborhood after they saw the resident leaving the home. Now, the two juveniles kicked in the door and found the 23-year-old woman and her 4-year-old daughter. Now, the district attorney office alleges that the 14-year-old then ordered the woman to unlock her phone as the accomplice went through the home to find things to steal. The teen then sexually assaulted the woman and choked her in front of her daughter. The 14-year-old then reportedly took the young mother back into the bedroom and attempted to pull her 4-year-old daughter out of the bedroom. The woman fought back, and he left the child in the room while taking the victim into another room. The suspect then pulled a switchblade and slashed it across her head and forehead. He then allegedly stabbed her in the upper left part of the chest. Now, both suspects fled the home on foot. The woman obviously had to get stitches and staples in her head, and the teen admitted to his role in the burglary after taking a DNA sample. And that brought additional charges. The district attorney office says the teen is charged with first-degree sexual assault, first-degree criminal sexual acts, 2 counts of first-degree assault, 2 counts of first-degree burglary, 1 count of first-degree sexual abuse, 1 count of second-degree strangulation, and endangering the welfare of a child. He is going to be arraigned in the Suffolk County Youth Court and is being held without bail. The teen's accomplice reportedly remains at large. Well, for a 14-year-old, that sure seems like some pretty serious charges. I don't know. Let me know what you think. Should he be charged as an adult, or should he get the benefit of being a teenager? After all, his brain is not fully developed, although apparently some other things completely are. But hey, you let me know. Some people say he's under 18. He's just a child. Other people are, hey, you commit adult crimes, you get adult punishment. Let me know. Dave Chappelle, a 23-year-old man, has been charged with trying to attack Dave Chappelle last night after storming on stage and tackling the comedian at his Hollywood Bowl show. Now, this guy, Isaiah Lee, stormed the stage while Chappelle joked that he had to increase his security in light of his trans jokes at the Netflix It's a Joke Festival. The attacker was armed with a gun that contained a hidden knife. This is according to the police. Now, it's unclear if he was searched on the way into the venue or how he was able to gain access to the stage. And Lee is now being held in the LA County Sheriff's custody on a single felony charge of assault with a deadly weapon. His bail has been set at $30,000, and Lee was tackled by security guards who appeared to be making sure he stopped resisting, and allegedly Mr. Lee's arm was broken in the melee. Well, you do stupid things, you get stupid prizes. Mr. Chappelle was uninjured and carried on with the show following the attack. There's raises at least one question about security. It is the first ever live comedy festival which forced fans to put their phones away but failed to spot a weapon. I'm certain there's going to be more to come on that. All right. And having just been in Las Vegas, I just love this stuff. Mob stuff is just interesting to me. All right. The Las Vegas police say that the skeletal body found in a metal barrel along Lake Mead's receding shoreline was a man who died from a single gunshot wound sometime between the mid-1970s or early 1980s. Homicide detective Lieutenant Ray Spencer of the Las Vegas Metro Police Department says that the man's body was wearing sneakers that were sold and manufactured by Kmart in the middle to late 70s, and the skeletal remains of the body were visible through a corroded opening in the rusted metal barrel. The victim's shirt and belt were still clinging to the bones. Now, the barrel was found embedded in mud along Lake Mead's receding shoreline, and police say that the water levels continue to drop. It is likely that, well, more bodies are going to be exposed. Investigators said they would definitely not rule out the possibility that the skeleton in the barrel was the victim of a mob-related murder. The Las Vegas Strip was notoriously dominated by mob-run casinos from the late 40s through the 80s, and casinos included the Stardust, the El Cortez, the Tropicana, the Desert Inn, the Flamingo, and the Dunes Hotel were all backed by the mob at one point. And the mob helped to build out the remote highway that would eventually become the Las Vegas Strip. Now, gangsters then took over resorts built by frontmen, skimmed the profits, and built nightclubs, country clubs, housing tracts, and shopping centers. It was home to notorious gangsters like Davey Berman and Bugsy Siegel. The metal barrel containing the remains was discovered by people strolling along the lakeshore. Investigators already set to work to identify the victim and will be combing through the missing persons cases from the 70s and 80s. But that process could take years as they are starting at square one. And in the 1980s, there was no DNA database, so there was no DNA collection. Investigators say that if the DNA is able to be extracted from the bones, the genealogy work required to identify the victim will in fact be extensive. Now, see, I know the mob is bad, okay? And I don't know if this is a mob case, but let's just say hypothetically it was. What did you have to do to wind up in a barrel in Lake Mead with, you know, a hole in the back of your head? Were you cheating at the tables? Did you not pay loans? Not condoning violence in any way, but you have to admit, it was an effective means of enforcement. Don't get too offended, ladies and gentlemen. Don't panic. Don't say, oh, God, I'm going to subscribe. You're promoting violence, Scott. No, I'm just saying sometimes things, that's just the way it is. All right. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal of the day. This is too good, ladies and gentlemen. A Florida man dialed numerous random numbers on his phone and used the video call feature and exposed himself to unsuspecting strangers. That's right. This is kind of a new form of Peeping Tom's sexual indecent exposure, right? Well, this guy, Adam Smith, was charged with indecent exposure and obscene communications in connection with the three video calls he made earlier in this year. One victim said she saw a white male, completely nude, squatting in front of the camera while gently stroking himself. The victim said she was shocked but managed to take a screenshot of the defendant, and the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office investigators used subpoenas to Verizon, Google, and the Pinger phone app to link the calls to Mr. Smith. Due to Mr. Smith's prior convictions, the new indecent exposure charges have been charged as a felony. Wow, can you imagine that? A guy who's been in trouble for indecent exposure does it again? I'm shocked. Oh my. Anyway, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.